Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tourism Geographies podcast, a podcast that showcases research published in Tourism Geographies, a peer-reviewed journal which explores tourism and tourism-related areas of recreation and leisure studies from a geographic perspective. I'm Maartje Roelofse, one of the producers of episodes for the show, and I come to you from Wageningen University and Research in the Netherlands. Welcome, listeners of the Tourism Geographies podcast. My name is Maartje Roelofse, and I'm one of the hosts on the podcast team. With me here today is Dr. Emmanuel Akwesi Eduampong, assistant professor in the Cultural Geography Group in Wageningen University and Research in the Netherlands. Together with Alana de Letz, Emmanuel has recently published an article in Tourism Geographies titled Commemoration and Commodification: Slavery Heritage, Black Travel, and the Year of Return 2019 in Ghana. The article is part of the special issue Unpacking Black Tourism, which, I quote here, critically analyzes historical and contemporary dimensions of black travel, challenging traditional white-centric narratives in tourism scholarship. Before we delve into your contribution to this scholarship, Emmanuel, could you tell us a little more about yourself and your research background?
Okay. Thank you, Maartje, for having me on this podcast. It's great to have the chance to have a conversation about the paper and also go a bit behind it. So my background, it's a bit varied, but part of my research has for quite some time focused on tourism policy and planning in the past. But in the most recent past, I've been focusing on what I call the geographies of slavery and colonial heritage tourism, basically trying to explore how tourism is used as a way to commemorate the past of slavery or colonial heritage, and in a way as an avenue to have discussions about these difficult heritage in different places. I've been based here at Wageningen University for just over 4 years, and before that I was based in the UK, where I did my PhD and was teaching at other universities. And when I came to the Netherlands, I decided to kind of expand and explore my research interest around this area of slavery and colonial heritage. And when I think of it, actually, part of the starting genesis out of which this paper come from is in my first master's thesis, which was written at King's College London, where I've basically looked at the visitor experience at sensitive heritage site at the Cape Coast Castle in Ghana, which is also a slavery-related heritage site. So I've always had that interest, and my PhD was also connected to that, but more looking at the planning aspect of using tourism as a tool for local economic development, poverty reduction, but tourism based on slavery and colonial heritage in Elmina. So when I came to the Netherlands, I applied for this grant project called the VENI from the Dutch National Research Council. And it's still ongoing. And this project is around slavery, heritage and tourism in Ghana, Suriname and the Netherlands, basically trying to compare and contrast how tourism is used to deal with slavery heritage in Ghana, in Suriname and the Netherlands, and sort of the conversations that emerge and the narratives that emerge out of that. So it's within this background and this context that Alana and myself got together to work on this, because I was interested to focus on Ghana and the Year of Return and to study it and see how the Year of Return drew up new narratives about what we do with the past, how we commemorate it, how we make it a tourism product. So that's a bit of my biography. I studied different subjects, which also in a way shows up in this paper. My bachelor was in sociology with geography, then I studied tourism, environment, development, then I went to do development studies, then I went to do international relations before doing my PhD in urban studies and planning. But the focus of all my research throughout this time has really been on tourism in its various manifestations. So this is a part of what I'm interested in research and how tourism manifests itself through different contexts, whether it's planning for local development or dealing with commemorating slavery and colonial heritage, how tourism helps us to do these larger societal issues.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emmanuel, for this introduction. In your paper, you discuss a particular strand of tourism, or form of tourism, if you want, referred to as diaspora tourism, or also roots tourism. Could you perhaps deliberate on those forms of tourism, particularly in the context of Ghana?
Yeah, thank you for that. Indeed, that's sort of the main literature in which we started from, so diaspora tourism or roots tourism. And actually, within the larger body of literature, I mean, there are different ways in which this idea of going back to your roots, it's framed. So some call it ancestral tourism, but we focus on this particular strand of diaspora tourism. And the idea of diaspora is a group of people who have been dispersed from their ancestral home. And this takes many forms. So not only African-Americans who trace their roots to the African continent, but also displacement that comes from war, for example, has been termed as diaspora tourism. And in particular, in the case of Ghana, roots tourism has been sort of the most accurate term to describe this form of tourism, where people of African descent seek to connect with their roots. And the idea of roots being slavery or the slave transatlantic slave trade uprooted people from the ancestral lands. So people of African descent who were sent to the Americas or the Caribbean, they were uprooted from the African continent. And once they've settled there and with new generation coming up, there's been a desire to go back to the roots, to connect with the heritage of their forefathers. So that's the strand that, yeah, the context in which we sort of started from for our research to look at actually how this form of tourism has been developed in Ghana, because it has changed form. And Ghana has sort of shaped and marketed itself as a country or as a destination, as the place you want to go to if you are a person of African descent, whether in Europe or in America or in the Caribbean. Ghana has framed itself as the gateway to the motherland of Africa. And that's the idea of roots tourism, that everyone or anyone of African descent can go back to their roots, can go back and visit Ghana to engage with the heritage there, to engage with the culture there, and to engage with the people there. But the main basis on which this idea of roots tourism has taken roots in Ghana, excuse the pun, is because Ghana also has some of the most well-preserved physical traces from the transatlantic slave trade. So we're talking of castles, we're talking of slave forts, we're talking of infrastructure and other sites that have been well preserved and that has been developed as attraction site that people going back to their roots can engage with. And this, if I may go a bit more in depth into how Ghana has done this over the years, I mean, it goes all the way back to the period of our independence. I say ours because I'm Ghanaian, of our independence in 1957. So prior to that, the first president of Ghana saw it as an opportunity, also at this time of Pan-Africanism, to kind of drive people of African descent to come to the motherland of Africa, newly independent countries coming up, and to sort of contribute to their development. So that was the first phase of roots tourism or diaspora tourism. And that period, actually, there was a different political underpinning to diaspora tourism. It was more coming back to the motherland or to Ghana to contribute to the independence struggle, but also to contribute into establishing a new African nation that African diaspora or diasporan Africans can look to and come to and take pride in that. So that was the first phase. And that sort of changed a bit post-independence and during a number of coup d'etats in which Ghana was not so much on the tourism map anymore. To the 1980s, during also structural adjustment projects or programs implementation in Ghana, tourism emerged again as a way to diversify the economy. And then diaspora tourism really kind of emerged, or roots tourism in particular, because then the marketing was focused on driving African Americans to come to Ghana to encounter this heritage. Because it was only in 1979, for example, that UNESCO World Heritage Site status was granted to the castles in Ghana, dotted along the coast of Ghana. So that was the point in 1979 and the 80s where really the drive to develop roots tourism in Ghana picked up, and we got a number and waves of people coming to Ghana for this purpose. There's been lots of campaigns to drive this. So to make this happen, periodically there's been campaigns to drive roots or diaspora tourism. In 2007, for example, there was a big project called the Joseph Project. So with an example to the biblical character of Joseph, whose brother said, well, take me back to my roots. I don't want to be buried in Egypt, but I want to go back to my roots. So there was the idea that African Americans can come back and come back to their roots, be the modern day Josephs. So that was in the 2007. And it's in following on that that we have this year of return 2019 to kind of commemorate the 400 years when the first enslaved from Ghana were shipped from Ghana to Virginia in the US. So that's sort of the context in which diaspora tourism emerged in Ghana, or roots tourism to be specific.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emmanuel. Now, this year of return aimed to, as you mentioned, unite Africans in the diaspora with those on the African continent through commemorative slavery heritage tourism activities, such as visits to slavery sites, healing ceremonies, festivals, and many other events. And one of the questions that you and Alana aim to answer through your research is, what are the tensions between commemoration of a period in history that is brutal and horrific, and the processes by which such an experience is then sold as a tourist experience? So in other words, how does commemoration become commodified, and what implications does that actually have for authenticity? Could you say a little bit more about that? What effects actually does commodification have on the experience of difficult heritage?
Well, I think the first thing to say is tourism is by definition commodification. Yeah? So once anything becomes a tourism product, it's been commodified. So irrespective of how sensitive that heritage might be, there has to be some level of commodification in order for it to become a place where tourists can go and engage or consume. So that's the first thing to say, that commemoration by definition is commodification, because you can't commemorate without certain elements of putting information board or a tour guide or some form of labeling that happens. So commodification is not necessarily a problem, even when it comes to difficult heritage. The issue is the extent to which elements of this difficult heritage becomes over-commodified, if you will. And so in this case of the year of return, there is a tension between, okay, this is about slavery and all the brutality that went with it, both in the sites in Ghana, but also the experiences of people of African descent in the US, which for some, they still continue to feel these sort of brutalities and inequalities that the ancestors faced on the plantations. So what happened in Ghana as a way to commodify some of the elements to make it a product, to make it a way that people can engage, but also within that engagement that they are able to not only enjoy, quote unquote, but really to take in what happened, to hear the stories, to engage in sort of meaningful experiences that help people deal with this past. So not only going just to the site or going to festivals and events, but also engaging in these rituals of healing.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emmanuel. To answer these questions or to meet your objectives, you've turned to social media platform Twitter, where you analyzed over 1,000 tweets produced by the Ghana Tourism Authority prior, during, and after the year of return, based on hashtag searches. Now, what would you say are the key findings?
Yeah, so we get to the meat of it. So indeed, I mean, 1,000 tweets is still a lot, but basically what we then did is to, convert it into Excel and put it into InVivo, and then treat it as you would any interview data, for example. So just to code it coded line by line to try to understand actually what is coming out for this, because we didn't have any sort of predefined thematic focus. We wanted to see what emerged out of this hall of tweets from the supply side, from the government of Ghana, and how they went about doing this. We came to three key findings: the eventification and festivalization of slavery heritage tourism, as one. The second one was around the celebratory co-production of the year of return experiences through social media. And the third one was a pivot from a predominantly slavery heritage destination to a wider sense of a destination that focuses on other touristic and business travel. So these are the three thematic findings, and I'll explain them briefly. The first one had to do with what we discussed earlier about the tensions between commodification and commemoration. The year of return actually led to an increase in commodification of this difficult heritage. At first sight, you might think, oh, that's not good, because then, I mean, we know that commodification sometimes leads to loss of authenticity. So on first sight, you might think, well, the more you commodify, the less authentic it becomes. But actually, this was not quite the case, as we found out. So there were myriads of new events and festivals that were developed, that were promoted, that were sort of screened and accepted by the Year of Return organizers into a calendar of activities for the whole year. Almost every month, there was some event related to it. Some of these events were related directly to slavery heritage. Others were related more broadly to just cultural heritage of Ghana. We also could identify through the tweets that even though there were lots of not directly related slavery heritage events and festivals, the small number of directly related slavery heritage festivals and events were very meaningful for people. Those were the moments where the deeper meaning of commemoration came out that was stressed much more. But also because the demographic of the people coming to engaging in roots tourism have changed. So the motivation has changed. It's not only about encountering your roots and the slavery heritage path, but now people are also traveling to make sense of the identity. They know the identity as being of African descent. Now they want to touch base with other aspects of the culture, the rich culture that still inhabits traditional settings or even contemporary Ghanaian settings. So that's why you have all these events coming up. And so that was quite an interesting finding, that the supply side is providing these new events because they are aware that the motivation of diaspora tourists or African Americans coming to Ghana has changed. And the second key finding was around the co-production of this year of return experience through social media and through celebrity. So one of the key things that the Ghana Tourism Authority has been keen to stress was that they didn't have to do a lot of marketing. They didn't have to spend a lot of a big marketing budget because they relied on African American celebrities to co-produce the Year of Return experience. African American celebrities are on Twitter, they are online, they have massive following. Think, for example, Boris Cujo, a Hollywood movie star, or Steve Harvey, Hollywood star, black entertainer with huge following on Twitter. So these celebrities, when they came to Ghana, they shared that experience by tweeting, by sending videos with the hashtags. These got retweeted and reposted by the Ghana Tourism Authority handles. And in this way, it created a sense of FOMO, fear of missing out, for other people of African descent in the US who thought, this is an experience not to miss. And so that drove quite a number of engagement and also visitation. Of course, we couldn't tell how many people came for the Year of Return because of these celebrity postings. But what we do know is that through the celebrities who came and posted about their experience and engaged with people, we know that created a huge buzz, which was picked up by international media organizations at no cost. To the organizers. So that's how the Year of Return was co-produced through this celebrity posting on social media, because the bulk of the target group happen to be on social media as well. And then the third main thematic finding had to do with the pivot. As I was saying earlier, Ghana has predominantly been seen as the gateway to the motherland or to the mother continent, and the focus has been on basically only commodifying the slavery-related heritage sites in Ghana. But what we found from the tweets was that actually there was very little mention about these slavery-related sites, but that there was an increase in mentions on other tourist attractions that were available for people, other tourist experiences that were available for people to engage with when they come for this year of return. There were also business forums and investment forums that were being organized. So what we realized is that there's been this shift from seeing Ghana as a destination that is predominantly slavery heritage tourism to a destination that also showcases its investment opportunities, showcases its leisure opportunities, showcases nature tourism. So this wide variety of sort of destination image was what we found was being developed through these tweets. So these are the three main ones.
Yes, this year of return, as you mentioned in your paper, would also prove to be one of the country's most successful return movements, with over a million arrivals, generating an estimated $3.3 billion into the economy. And in your paper, you open up with a very powerful quote by the former Ghanaian Minister of Tourism, the late Jake Obetsebi Lamte, who compares a visit to Ghana with travel to Mecca. And travel to Mecca, as many of you may know, is a compulsory religious duty for Muslims and one of the largest annual gatherings of people in the world. Would you say that for some in the African diaspora, this year of return will become an essential trip during their lives? Has it obtained this status?
Yeah, that's another excellent question. Indeed, the year of return has, well, let's start with the success of it. So it was indeed the most successful sort of diaspora tourism drive the country has experienced. Also thinking of the Joseph Project earlier and also earlier projects in the 50s and 60s. And the goal has been indeed to make Ghana, yeah, as I say, it's the Mecca when it comes to diaspora tourism in relation to African Americans, or let me put it more broadly, people of African descent. And Ghana has attained that status. So we know that within, especially within African American communities, there is always the question of, oh, have you visited the motherland before? And if you have, have you visited Ghana? Ghana is seen as the place you want to go to. So even if you've been to other African countries, Ghana still remains the place that you still need to go to and the place that you want to go to, because it's a way to really get in touch with your identity, to get in touch with your roots. It offers so many opportunities, both for visiting, but also in relocating. So Ghana also passed a law that allows people of African descent easy access to Ghanaian passport to become citizens of Ghana. So there is a law which is called the right of abode. So anyone of African descent living anywhere in the world can come to Ghana and say, I want to relocate to Ghana, I want to take up citizenship of Ghana. And the process is well laid out and made easy for them. So indeed, this sort of vision of the late Jake Obetsebi Lamte is being realized. Even beyond the year of return, there are people who have it on their bucket list to visit Ghana, people who visit at least once, sometimes more times, because first they come to visit and then they realize actually there are opportunities here, and then they invest or even set up tour organizations or tour businesses to bring other people to Ghana. So Ghana is indeed now seen as the homeland for Africans in the diaspora and as the Mecca that people ought to visit. So a pilgrimage that you want to embark on at least once in your lifetime, if not more. But of course, I mean, not everyone is able to do that. Even for Muslim, not everyone has the financial means to be able to do that. So there is a bit of also self-selection, we should say. So that's also looking at the other side of it, that there is a bit of a self-selection in this. Also because the year of return was very much directed at the African-American market. Because they have the financial means to be able to make the trip. We also have people of African descent in the Caribbean, but compared to African-Americans in the States, the financial situation is not the same. So it's also about affordability and who is able to afford to visit and to even relocate there. So even though Ghana is the Mecca in this sense, with easy access to become a citizen and a passport, yeah, there is also, so that we can also look at the geographies of who is able to take up this opportunity and where are they coming from, and the dynamics that goes with that.
It sounds like a great future research topic, wouldn't you say? Do you have any other suggestions for our listeners on what we can take from this and where we can take this research into the future?
Yeah, indeed. And what I ended on can be a nice follow-up research to really understand actually of the various diaspora groups who are making use of this opportunity of diaspora tourism, of the year of return and the buzz that it generated, because now there is also beyond the return strategy to sort of build on the momentum that has been created. But it will be interesting to look at how this beyond the return is being received by Africans in the diaspora in different places in the Caribbean, in the States, also in Europe, for example. So that's one way to look at it as a way of future research. And I think the other ways for future research has to do with data source. We use Twitter, which was very informative, giving us a sense of how this commodification process is marketed towards the target group who also happen to be on Twitter. But it will be also interesting to follow up and speak to key stakeholders. So to interview people on the ground in Ghana from the Ghana Tourism Authority to kind of get a sense of how they saw this year of return unfolding, what lessons they've learned, what challenges they face, because yeah, you don't get to see all the challenges on Twitter, because on Twitter you get only the information and the good stuff. So it'll be interesting to sort of get an understanding of how stakeholders in Ghana saw this, but also how businesses around these tourism sites experienced the year of return. Did it really bring all the income, or was the income not, yeah, to use a not a good term, did not trickle down? So to look at actually who got to benefit. And finally, I mean, there's been, through the year of return, there's been land that has been easily, well, not free, you pay a little token, that has been given to African diasporans to come and settle in Ghana. So there is an Asebu Pan-African village in the central region of Ghana where people of African descent have bought land and have built their house and are building a community. It will be really interesting to see how people engage with, yeah, with their sense of belonging and identity as a result of having come first as tourists during the year of return and now settling down as part of the community, and the challenges that come between coming as a tourist and then living as part of the community. So these are areas that can really do with further research. And finally, I get too excited. And finally, actually to look at this change in motivation. Yeah, so it's no longer about, oh, I want to find out who I am and find my roots. People of African descent are pretty confident about the identity. They take up that identity. But now they go for new meanings. There's new aspirations of investment, of contributing to the continent, of identifying with the rich traditions. And it will be really interesting to follow up and study, speak to people, speak to diasporans who visit Ghana, and follow them and see which aspects of the culture and the heritage they really engage with on the ground.
Wonderful. So many ideas to unpack there and research projects to unfold. That's really generous. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I really wanted to thank you, Emmanuel, for this interview and for all these ideas that you've just provided us with. It's been a pleasure having you here with us. Would you like to close off with a remark towards the special issue?
So this paper on commemoration and commodification in the context of the Year of Return is part of a special issue that has been published now in Tourism Geographies called Unpacking Black Travel and Black Tourism. And basically, for the month of February, also in celebration of Black History Month, all papers in the special issue is free to download, free to read. So we encourage listeners to check them out, because also some of the ideas for further research, some are explored in some of these papers, and also you get ideas about what sort of research is being done in terms of Black travel and Black tourism and the various dimensions in which we can think of them. So it's a great special issue. You should definitely check it out for your own research, but also for your teaching.
Many thanks. So Tourism Geographies podcast listeners, thank you also for tuning in, and make sure to check out Emmanuel's and Alana's article on the Tourism Geographies website, and stay tuned for our upcoming podcast episodes. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Tourism Geographies podcast. We look forward to you joining us again next week. I'm Marcia Rudolfsen. Bye for now.